Well, good morning and welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station. This is the 195.1 FM. And, of course, we are 1080 on your AM dial in our 50th year serving the Northfield community. Well, I invited a gentleman to come on in and chit-chat with me today. I want to learn all about what it's like to have been on the Northfield Fire Department, maybe even the Rescue Squad, and administrator for the Northfield Rural Fire Department, whom, he just retired as of January 1st. Is that right, Jerry Anderson?
I'm all retired from being the administrator.
Okay, I was thinking on the way in this morning, you're the class of 1962, Northfield High School. You are a true townie. And you've served this community well many, many ways. And I was wondering if this is it for Jerry Anderson, serving the community as the Rural Fire Association. Have you also divorced yourself from any other responsibilities on a community service basis?
Well, the rural has been a huge part of my life for over four decades. I will continue to be involved, probably in a different role. The administrator position began in the mid-70s, about 1974 or 75. John Mahachik appointed myself and Ed Miller to work with the rural because the rural had real insufficient equipment. They had a lot of debt. And so from 75 on, I kind of, at first it was just budget work, things like that, and it evolved into an undefined position as administrator. And so one thing led to another, and so I've worked with many, many people. I brought in a list this morning, and that's very important to me because it shows all the people that have been involved in rural fire service since 1950.
You know, I'm looking at this, and I think I probably know some of them, but I've got to ask the Rural Fire Service, what does that encompass? What communities or what townships does that encompass?
Let's go up to the top. The rural was organized in August 23rd of 1950 as a community rural fire department. And in 1951, it was incorporated under state statute to the Rural Fire Department Association. In 1994, the rural, we found out that we were operating under a membership-type organization, and so everything was disbanded, and we formed a joint powers. We were one of the early joint power fire departments in the state.
What does that mean?
Well, what that means is we've got three full complete townships there in Rice County. Two of them are. We got Bridgewater, Northfield, and Greenvale. They're complete townships. And then we have Waterford, Scioto, Forest, and Webster. Those are partials. And so we've got the largest township, which probably carries 38 to 39% of the financial responsibility down to Scioto, which is just a couple percent. But what the joint powers did was keep these people together at their different sizes financially and so on, but it gave them a common voice. And there was huge success in the rural joint powers. And so it was the rural in 1914 that became instrumental in helping create the new joint powers, which NAFRA is Northfield Area Fire and Rescue Association. And that came as a result from about 1989 on Northfield administrators. And we went through seven or eight of them, and they were trying to gander more money from the rural. And we said, fine, we'll do that, but we want more of a voice. So all of those years came down and culminated in NAFRS, what we have today. And when we formed NAFRS, NAFRS was made up of the city of Northfield, city of Dundas, and the rural. And it was deemed that Northfield would have 5 members on the board, the rural 2, and Dundas 1. And so that's 8. And someone says initially, well, what if there's a tie vote? And I always say, if you've got a good organization, you don't have ties. You provide enough information. You provide enough logic and planning to make it work. So the new joint powers, NAFRS, is still in its infancy. It's been successful, but there's been huge challenges in front of it, updating equipment. And when I say this, it's not a slam against Northfield or anything, but it's the reality that the fire department wasn't taken care of very well as far as equipment and facilities. And the one thing NAFRS has done is stepped up and bettered equipment, and you will see next year the renovation project of the fire station to be updated and an addition placed on it to adequately suffice the needs of the fire department.
Now, in your job as administrator, which you just retired from, you weren't a voting member, is that correct?
Well, and that's interesting because up until NAFRS starting, you know, it never dawned on me. I never was an ego person that said I got to have a vote. I like to provide a lot of information. If you've got good information, good planning, everything works. So all of a sudden we stepped into a situation, and the administrator that set up the original joint powers said the administrators will be ex officio. So that meant the city of Northfield, Dundas, and rural. Well, the city of Northfield's got a high-paid administrator. Dundas has got a full-time. You know, mine is a volunteer position. I was very frustrated through this because as an ex officio member, you cannot make a motion. You cannot second a motion. When it comes down to board discussion, you're at a different level. And so all of that frustration led me to the point of saying, you know, it's perhaps time for me to step out of the volunteer position. I don't know what's going to happen. A township could step up and say, Jerry, we want you to be the rep and be back on the board. I don't know that.
That'd be Bridgewater Township?
Well, not. It doesn't have to be any particular one of them because they can all put reps on.
A person from Scioto Township would put a rep on from Bridgewater Township?
Sure.
Oh.
If you go back to the rural, and that's why you take a look at this long list of people, the rural strength has been the people that have been involved in fire service on the board have been there for a long time, so they understand. They're only dealing with one thing, with fire service, which is kind of a slow process, but it's very important. So when decisions come up, you aren't bringing everyone up to speed.
Now, my interpretation so far, Jerry, Jerry Anderson is my guest this morning, and is that all of these townships that you've mentioned, and they're represented on this board of directors, is that based on what tax that they pay?
No. When we formed the joint powers in 1994, that set up the bylaws that each township provides one member to the board, regardless of its size. What we've used for equity balance to the townships is used to what we call a tax capacity number. So every year I would take the budget, and the tax capacity would create the percentage of participation, and you take that percentage times our budget, and that's how we arrived at what each township paid. When we moved into working with the city, there isn't a comparable tax district that can work between a municipality and rural. What we had works between the rural, but that's one of the things that has just changed in NAFRS, is the percentages of participation based on some value. And so recently that was changed where we took a look at improvements on property, not property, because out in the country there's a huge value on property, but the soil doesn't burn. So there's an evolution that has always got to go on to create parity so that we can provide the adequate services. Now, the other thing that's a big differential between Northfield, Dundas, and the rural, in Northfield and Dundas, both communities have wonderful water systems. So those little red hydrants, you know, a fire truck can hook up to those and pump millions of gallons of water if they have to put out a fire. Out in the country, we don't have a rural water system. So we depend on tankers and mutual aid. In the rural, there's a fire over by Nurse Strand, and so Nurse Strand has a couple tankers, their older equipment, but Faribault and then Northfield was there. Those three communities came together to fight that fire. And we work with New Market, we work with Farmington, we work with Randolph, Kenyon, and all of these fire departments work together. So when there's a rural tragedy, you know, you can muster together enough manpower and water to do the best job you can.
Well, let's assume then that you helped in putting out a fire in Nurse Strand or Randolph or whatever. Do you send them a bill?
Well, under the mutual aid agreements, we don't do that because one time we might help them, the next time they help us. So under a mutual aid agreement, we don't enter bill, but we note on our fire calls when we call for mutual aid or go to mutual aid. If any time, and it's never fallen into an unfair category, but if it would, then you would have a conversation about that. But in all my years of experience, I haven't seen where it's crossed the line of abuse, you know. But, I mean, that's just the nature of fire service. And when it comes to the rural, and that was the basis of when this whole thing formed in the 50s. Go back to the 50s and 40s, late 1800s. People came together to help people in a tragedy. And so that philosophy has always been there. And what the Central Dispatch Center in Owatonna, you know, they'll dispatch. And if there's a question, they dispatch more. And so the main thing we've got to do is you've got a group of highly specialized people serving the community. And the community is the rural and the city. And you've got to do the best job you can.
Now, I've read in my lifetime, I have read on more than one occasion where there has been a fire and the people did not pay their taxes or they did not belong to that fire district. And the firemen just stopped and watched the fire because somebody didn't pay or whatever that case has been. Has anything like that ever happened in southern Minnesota? You've been associated on the state level or in Minnesota?
Well, I can't think of a case like that. It's interesting, in 94 when we formed the joint powers, I dug back into the history, and the prior to the 1950s, there was a membership type of thing. So if you, as a family, decided to be a member, you're in. But, of course, that didn't work out, and how do you deny service to someone, just as you talk about? So that drove the Rural Association over the years to become more and more formal in how they operate. So the service is equal to all, and yet with some sense of parity on responsibility.
So when I get my taxes, will there be a set-aside that will show me that I paid X amount of dollars for fire protection in the year 2016 or 17?
Currently today, under the joint powers, the three communities, Northfield, Dundas, and Rural, all pay out of their general fund budgets into the membership of NAFRS. There has been conversation about creating a taxing district. A taxing district would be starting a new taxing district, so there would be a separate line on your tax statement for that. And there's been pro and con conversation that's going to go on. I'm really not in favor of the joint powers because I don't see the fire services being that expensive. You know, right now we've got an operations budget. I think this year they're going to end up probably spending about $420,000 to $430,000 for the operation. On top of that, we're going to have our debt retirement for the new facility reimbursement. And then we've got equipment. but hardly is it $1 million a year business. And to form a new taxing district, which would be the same thing as a school district or a township or a city, seems to be, to me, very complicated to accomplish a simple task. Now, if I'm a city administrator, I'd maybe say, let's have a taxing district because it takes the money out of my general fund, so I've got general fund money for something else. I've been involved in community and government, and I just feel that every agency has a responsibility to do a good job budget-wise and provide a good service, but also be able to stand to the question of how we're spending our money and how we're doing it. So that means we have to watch how we're doing things and justify what we're doing. So, you know, but I'm just one person. I'm just one person's opinion.
Okay. Now, the Rural Fire Department houses equipment at the Northfield Fire Department?
Up until 2014, the Rural, had an agreement with the City of Northfield where the Rural owned certain fire equipment, and it was housed by Northfield, but they could use the equipment. And so once we formed the joint powers in 2014, each entity, and the only people that owned equipment was City of Northfield and the Rural, Dundas didn't, so we leased our equipment to NAFRS for $1. As the trucks are replaced, so we've replaced a pumper that was originally a Rural pumper, and so when that was replaced, the sale value of the used one went to the Rural. So as we go through our first layer of turning over trucks, you know, eventually they all become NAFRS.
Now, let's reestablish once again what NAFRS is.
Northfield.
Okay.
Northfield.
Okay.
Area.
Northfield area. I'm writing this down. Area.
Fire. And Rescue Services.
Fire. Okay. That sounds like I should have known that. Fire and Rescue Service.
It's
okay.
A very long title, you know, and so how do you write all that on a fire truck or anything? And so the NAFRS, and if you go down to the fire station, it's called the fire station, you know. It's very interesting. We talk about communities working together. In 1982, I negotiated Dundas. They were trying to sustain their fire department, and they couldn't do it. And so
Dundas had a fire department?
Dundas had a fire department.
Where did they house their
In what was now the city hall. There was a back door, and that's where they held city council meetings. You just, you know, pull
right out there in between the bars?
Yeah. They had one truck.
Okay.
And eventually, when they ended, they had one. But Jerry Adams was politically involved in that time. And they couldn't, you know, to maintain a fire department in a small town is hard because of training, getting manpower, things like that. So we negotiated with them, and they became a contract member of the Rural, not a full voting member, but a contract, because at that 1982, they didn't have a central water system. But as the years have come on, they've got an excellent water system, so they went direct with the City of Northfield. But the Rural had a mutual aid agreement with the City of Northfield. So from 1982 on, if the fire chief was called to a fire in Northfield, Dundas, or Rural, whatever is needed for his asset equipment, he could take. So there was any dispute about that.
You've been on both the Northfield Fire Department and the Northfield Rescue Squad, am I right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, one of the things that may take people aback when they hear Northfield Volunteer Fire Department, in reality, it is financially beneficial to individuals that serve under that name, Northfield Volunteer Fire Department, and they make a hell of a commitment. And they do a heck of a job in their training. Before you answer that, doesn't the Northfield Fire Department or NAFRS, don't they have a major part in keeping our home insurance at a lower rate?
Okay. The insurance comes under what we call the ISO, Oregon's Insurance Services Organization. And that's a governmental entity that comes in and evaluates your fire service. The highest rated fire service is a 10. The lowest rated is a 1. And there's no ones in the state that I know of. There's a 2, 3, you know, and so the lower the number, that affects your insurance. So over the years, I'd go to a local insurance agency and I'd say, what's the value, what is the cost to insure a home in Northfield for a $325,000 home, then go out in the country. And the further you go out, the higher the insurance goes up because the service is not equivalent. So within a municipality, because we have proximity to the fire department and we have water and quick services, that's your lower insurance. And that's why over the years I've been an advocate of keeping the rural rural and don't start industries out there. You know, you all of a sudden start with a 10,000-square-foot building and it grows to something big. Well, it's how can you service it? You can't take care of it. So I've always been an advocate that industrial and commercial needs to be within the confines of a municipality for that. But, yes, the better the service, the better the water power, the water, the equipment, it's the water system, equipment and manpower is a long equivalent formula you go through to do that. Now, Northfield just went through their review. We'll probably know next spring if it is probably stayed the same. It might improve. But we're at the same classification as the city of Faribault. So the fire department's done an excellent, excellent job over the years.
Are you going to give us a number?
Well, I'm thinking it's a 4 and trying to get to a 3.
So you mean the lower the number, the better?
Lower the better.
Oh, okay.
Can't get to 1.
Okay. Now, speaking about Faribault, I know it seems like yesterday, but perhaps it's been a couple of decades. Faribault went from a volunteer to a full-time. What was the effect on people's taxes in that regard?
If we take a look at the Northfield versus Faribault budget, we take a look at personnel. You know, we pay our firemen with officer and everything. It's probably, it runs between 110, maybe 120,000 approximately. You go to Faribault and theirs is about $1.2 million. Now, they don't have a full paid. They've got a 5 or 6 full-time and the rest are paid on-call volunteers. And anytime you've got a partial full-time and partial paid on-call, that's hard to manage because the partial guys that are partial paid feel like they're grunts, you know, and the full-time people are more involved. So every community, there isn't one formula how to make it work. You've got to pick what you're doing and polish it until it works right.
Do the full-time guys have to wash the trucks?
Oh, yeah. They do wash. I mean, the full-time guys are busy all day when they're there. And the full-time department will be going out and doing inspections. But today we've got so many more medical calls. So we're very fortunate in Northfield. We've got a good hospital with an ambulance system. But, you know, that's one of the struggles. And I want to jump to you mentioned the rescue squad. The Northfield Rescue Squad was started in the late 50s by Jim Becker. Jim Becker was a gentleman who was in town.
He worked Shieldsville, wasn't he from?
Yeah, and he worked. He was on the fire department, but he became involved. And so he was the first Rescue Squad captain. John Mahachik was the second. Jerry Rice was the third, and I was the fourth. And I came in about 1975 also.
Captain?
Yeah, and
that's the number one position.
Yeah, and I was the one that brought EMT status into the community, and that was a huge transition. That's a lot more training, and so that's was heavily involved in the early formation of that. And so the rescue squad, to be part of the rescue squad, you've got to be a member of the fire department, But the Rescue Squad, up until this time, is a organization that fundraises for the equipment. They don't charge for the calls, and there's no pay. This is truly a volunteer situation. Now, the Rescue Squad is seeing real challenges today because all of a sudden we're getting more calls, and so you need 18 to 20 people turning out for a two-person call. So, again, the evolution of service always presents challenge to reevaluate your operation to make sure you can maintain your members. Now, going back to the fire department are paid on call. That's their official classification. And they get paid a certain amount for training and a certain amount for showing up for a call. And I think it's about $21 or $22 for the first hour or something. And most calls are short term. But what we did over the years, we created a pension system. And the reason for the pension system was to, when you take a look at a fireman, you know, when they first come on, I mean, they're a novice. And I've always said, you know, a better person might make good status in 3 years, but it takes years of part-time experience to run a truck, run the pumper, work with a fire. So Northfield, in the last several years, we've been taking on more members because we've got aged ones that are retiring. And so we've got a pension fund. And so I think right now it's somebody between $7,500 or $8,000 a year. So if I've been in for 20 years at $8,000 a year, that's a whale of an incentive. And that pension fund today is fully funded. Now, when people talk about pension funds, usually they're counting on anticipated funds coming in the future. This one is rock solid, and that's a big difference, and it's a wonderful status.
That's a carrot, too, isn't it?
Well, I mean, but how many, you know, so you get on the fire department, and I remember coming on. There's a lot of excitement in the first couple of years, but once you reach about year 5 through 9, you know, it's an encumbrance on your life and your family. You're sitting at home having a Thanksgiving dinner, and the alarm goes off. You know, it's a frigid cold night, and the alarm goes off. You know, and so in order to maintain status, you've got to make a certain percent of the fire calls and drills and training. You know, so it becomes something. But the beautiful thing about being a fireman is the camaraderie. Because you learn to trust the next person with your life. What organization does that? It's truly amazing.
Well, it's 9:30. We're going to take just a real brief break. And when we come back, I want to know who these people are, this list I have in front of me. But before we do that, I want to trip down memory lane, if I may, in reference to my relationship with the Northfield Fire Department, or my experiences.
I remember it.
All right. We will be right back. Jerry Anderson is my guest. He just retired as the administrator for NAFRS, and he's had a lot of experience in the field of firefighting, administration, and rescue squad work.
Yet, at Subway restaurants, $4.99 buys you a foot-long Black Forest ham, meatball marinara, spicy Italian, or more. Guess what? That's happiness. And I'm buying it. And after I buy them, I'm going to eat them. Just not all at once. Foot-long faves at Subway. Now just $4.99 each every day. Subway. So much sandwich. At participating restaurants, additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.
A long, long time ago. Well, Jerry, this was the number 4 song in 1962, the year you graduated from Northfield High School, where the Witt Center is now.
Correct.
Name that tune.
Roses Are Red.
Yep, you got that right.
Yep, that's a real easy one.
Okay, tell me who sang it.
I can't tell you that.
Bobby.
Linton? Bobby.
You had it there close. Bobby Vinton.
There you go.
As sweet as you. Jerry Anderson is my guest on the Wayne Eddy Affair. As of January 1, he has given up his position as administrator of NAFRS, the Northfield Area Fire and Rescue Service. Let me get that cough drop out of my mouth. Jerry, here are some of the things that I remember about the Northfield Fire Department before we get into some more details on what you've been overlooking for the last, how many years were you the administrator?
42 years.
Holy cow. Wow. Number one, I remember, okay, I don't know how what order, but I remember when John Mahatchik was fire chief.
Correct.
And I had a tape recorder with me, and he put me on, and at that time, the new fire truck, the one with the ladder. And I actually went up and touched the steeple on the central building, which is where the rear pair is.
Right.
And you look up that steeple, that's up there a ways. And I didn't mind the ride up, but when they started rappling the ladder towards the building, I'm thinking that fire truck is going to turn over. Is that truck still in use, or has that been?
No, that truck has been retired.
Yeah, but it was such a big deal when you got it.
You know, we've had hydraulic arm trucks, and we've got two ladder trucks in NAFRS. One of them goes to about 90-some feet, the other to about 105 feet, and the other has the taller one has a working platform. We bought that used. And but you get up high. I mean, when you stand on the ground and look up, it doesn't look so bad. But you get up on top, okay? And especially if things wiggle a little bit.
Yes, yes.
I'll never forget, we had a hydraulic bucket that went up, and that went up to about 80 feet. And so John was chief, and so we'd bring the truck back, and he was the one. So he took me up in the bucket, stood it straight up, and then he reached over and hit the hydraulic switch like that, and we went back and forth, and I just about got sick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's scary.
So
that means, you know, you've got these people that have to be trained multiple times, so you're in those situations where you don't feel scared.
Mm-hmm. The purpose of those longer ones is for particularly St. Olaf?
What we've found over the years, originally we had the aerials for the colleges, but when you take a look at the fire calls today, the colleges both do a phenomenal job. And, of course, a lot of the college buildings are built of masonry construction with sprinklers, so we don't have, I can't recall, the last dorm fire or burnout room. But, you know, downtown, we've got the old buildings next door to each other. There was a Northfield News fire. There was another fire downtown. And that's when they come into play.
By the way, that Northfield News fire was on Division between 4th and 3rd Street.
Correct.
On the east side.
On a very cold night.
Yeah. Oh, speaking about a cold night, I don't know if you'll remember this, but I'll never forget it. There was a fire in a house on, I think it could have been 4th Street or 5th Street, up by Winona and on the east side. And I happened to live on 6th in Nevada, so it was 2 blocks away, 3 blocks away. And it was a night like last night. And actually today this probably wouldn't happen. The Northfield Fire Department actually were exhausting themselves and needed help. And I actually had a hose in my hand with regular driver's passenger, or rather driver's gloves, and remember the long tan coats that businessmen wore? That was my gear, and no boots. And I held that hose and aimed it at the house for quite a while. And people in the neighborhood opened up their doors and had coffee and donuts for the fire rescue people to go in. And there were neighbors out watching. And the last thing, I get goosebumps thinking about it. I was so glad to be able to help, but I was so glad when I didn't have to. I mean, that it was so cold. And people may not realize it, but those fire hoses, you got to hold on to them.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it takes strength. And the last thing that happened is the late Junior Hughes went into the house and rescued a cat. Now, do you remember that fire at all?
A little
up
bit.
Up on the east side?
Yeah.
Now it has great big, huge pine trees next
right.
to it.
Right, and that was what we call a balloon construction house where there was an air passageway all the way up from the basement. And with building codes today, the houses are built differently, and so we don't see as much as that. But, boy, you've been around long enough, Wayne. You came to town, and Kim Radio at that time was, and I'm not putting down what's here today, but, you know, Kim Radio was there later on night, way early in the morning, and you took a role in this community. And I'll never forget, you wanted to become a townie. And you kind of became the townie yeah. through the fire department.
Yep.
And you did a terrific job working with the fire department, communicating, being in the community, and so on. And
I know where that took place. You asked me if I would MC and be the disc jockey. This is before the way it is nowadays. But I actually had records that I brought out and two turntables, and I played music at the annual Fireman's Dance. And later on in the evening, when fun had been had, I was asked to kneel down. And I think it was you and Jerry Rice, maybe, and John Mahatchi. Kind of baptized me and said, "You are now an official townie."
Correct.
And I have that memory with great pride. With great pride, because that was 47 years ago when I was relatively new in town.
But you and the radio station, you provided an emergency situation communication. You know, if there was a storm coming through the area, whatever. And that was always a good boon to the people in emergency services, you know, as you try to work with the community and communication and so on. So,
Who was that guy that was the first appointed Rice County emergency director? He's from Faribault. Had an office in Faribault. He had curly hair, curly brown. You know who I mean.
Rabinick?
Yeah. Rob Rabinick?
Rick.
Rick, yeah.
Now, that came as a result of the Northfield Fire Department. And that was another era where, you know, the Northfield Fire Department under John Mahatchik's leadership, we said, you know, we want to see the other little towns elevating in their abilities to serve. And so we went to the Rice County Board, and I had connections there, and we convinced them to hire a county person to work with the other departments. And that became successful. And because we were finding our rescue squad, I can remember the rescue squad going on the other side of Lonsdale, taking someone into the New Prague Hospital. And we said, hold it, we're going out too far. You know, we need these other communities to step up, you know, to serve. And so another thing we did with Rice County, with Rick Rabinick, another one was the rural address system. We had, and that goes on back under Alvin Houston. He served from 59 to 79, 20 years.
And for those of you that don't know, Alvin Houston lived out on Canada Road and Highway 19, had a five-acre plot there. And now they have open gardens for the public, I guess. And he offered, I told him if he ever sells his house there, to let me know. And he did. And at that time I was buying KYMN radio, so I couldn't make the deal. But he was a postman
Correct.
That delivered mail on horse and sleigh.
Correct. And what Al did, he kept up our rural address system. So everyone out in our service district had a fire call number, and that was a post at the end of your driveway. Now, they were not sequential, but, you know, everyone was given one, and any time there was a new house built, he would see to there's a post, and we had a Rolodex card file that said, if you go to fire call 284, you go down Highway 3, go left, and we went by directions. We didn't have the technology. I remember the first time the rural got a CB radio so we could talk one truck to another. At that time, our fire department was on Main Street, Northfield. Our tanker was over in the street shop, which is over where the new hotel is going up. So if it was a rural fire, you had to come down and grab a paddle, get in your car, drive over, and get in the tanker. and then you're trying to make sure you get to the same fire or even find the fire.
What was your call name? Breaker. This is mine was Morning Mouth. What was yours? Do you remember?
I didn't have one.
You didn't?
No.
Oh, man, I had one on my 70 Gremlin and on my 75 Pacer.
I had one at that time. We were off-road racing in the 70s. So I had one there, but that was a different name.
Well, now let's talk about briefly Pearl Steed it after I make a comment. There was a fire out by the KYMN building, tower site, and it was on, that'd be 320th Street, okay? And this house was on fire, and Pearl Street, that's where in Owatonna they had that, they just started their. Sending police and fire trucks.
Dispatcher,
okay. And so we got the Northfield Fire Department going down County Road 47, and you can't get there from here. There's a thing called a river. And if they would have just said before it would have been a call to the Northfield Police Department, if they would have just said Kim Radio Road, they'd have been there a lot quicker than going almost to Randolph and coming back.
Well,
have they improved?
Yeah. And I'll tell you, when we went with this rural address system, at that time, Bill Gill, who was a former mayor, was working for the county in planning and zoning. And I'll never forget the upheaval in the rural complaints. All of a sudden, I've got this address, and I just want to be Route 1 or I just want to be Route 2. And we explained to people that once you've got a rural address, not only can the emergency services find you, but a FedEx truck, you know, or any other delivery truck. And so that's evolved to the day where it's very sophisticated. And so now with GPS, you know, you give someone your address and you're there. So the Northfield Fire Department was very progressive on a lot of this stuff and were innovators that pushed a lot of these programs.
Well, I know that in reference to my neighborhood, and you've been there, all of us have our signs, and they just replaced them, it seems like yesterday, but probably 2 years ago, and they're all blue, and they stand right in the driveway. And I found out that if I want to, I can go 55057-4451, and I'll get my mail without having to write, you know, five,
right.
Six numbers and a street name.
Yeah.
So,
I'm just saying that today, you all, everyone in the rural appreciates that, but there was blood spilled over that. You know, I mean, it was
old timers.
Well, no, but I'm just saying the fire department went through some negative comments, but I mean that was a huge thing that today is so beneficial.
I'm going to take another break here. My guest this morning is Jerry Anderson. Jerry is a townie, born and raised in Northfield, class of 1962. He just retired from his position as administrator of NAFRS, which is Northfield Area Fire and Rescue Service, and he was the rural administrator for many years, and he has retired from that position as of January 1. We'll be right back.
At Harry Brown's Family Automotive, everything is based on Brown family values, like being friendly, professional, and involved in the community. Right now, we've got a huge selection of vehicles, all American made, every one of them. Check out that new 2017 Chevrolet, GMC, or Buick you've had your eye on for a while now. Also, we always make sure to peel off every inch of that sticky new car window sticker for you. Harry Brown's Family Automotive in Faribault, online at harrybrownsgm.com.
Residential or commercial, Cannon Valley Water in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago and is proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today.
I'd have them deliver it. It's a lot easier. All you do is just give them a call and have them set up a delivery date for you. And that would include salt for your water softener and, of course, jugs of that great Candio High water, good for the five P's, pots and pans and pets and plants and people. Well, here's another song from 1962. You can sing along with this. You did in the car back in the day.
As I walk through this world, nothing can stop a duke of earth. And you are my girl, and no one can hurt you. Oh no, yes I Duchess of Earth. We'll walk through my dukedom and the paradise we will share. Yes, I.
Right, Jerry, this song was number 9 in all of 1962 when you got out of the Northfield High School, which at that time, now it's Witt Center. Can you name this tune?
Well, you're giving me the easy one, that's Duke of Earl.
Yeah. You don't remember who did it, I'll bet.
No.
You got to channel your thoughts.
But I'll tell you, Wayne, my oldest daughter could come with me and name every singer and every song. She's the one who should have been a just a. Jennifer.
I always say Kim. Yeah. I don't know why. Gene Chandler. Well, if you just tuned in, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. The Wayne Eddy Affair on 1080 and 95.1, the 1 FM. And our guest is Jerry Anderson. He's a townie, graduated from Northfield High School in 1962. And 5 years later, he was an observer of a thing being built on the Highway 3 and 3rd Street in Northfield that had a funny hat at the time. And can you tell me what that was?
That would be Kim Radio?
No.
Oh, that would be the fire station.
No, Highway 3 and 3rd Street.
Highway
3 and 3rd Street on the northwest corner. Kitty Corner from State Farm.
Oh, quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay, I'm at the wrong intersection.
Yeah. Well, 50 years ago, they came to Northfield. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Or were you up at the U?
No. I remember, I was always around Northfield, but the quarterback came in. That was part of a franchise. There was, at that time, that was the third or fourth one. I remember some up by Savage or Shakopee.
Right.
I remember the football on top of the building.
Yep.
And... That business has been an amazing business over the years. And when you look at that business and you look at the young people that started working there that have gone on to do things, you know, that's the type of thing that's missing today for our young people because they're not out getting those jobs early in life and, you know, stepping up to do things. You know, McDonald does a good job with it, but that's part of the old town, you
mm-hmm.
know, and that business has stood there, and different people have owned it and all been successful.
Yep, I can name them all. Bill Brown, Fran Tarkenton, others with the Minnesota Vikings, and then a guy by the last name of Swanson, I never can remember which, and then he sold that to the late Larry Benjamin, who had sold it to Dale Finger, another townie.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a townie restaurant.
There you go.
And they're serving breakfast for the next 8 minutes. Now, when you go in there for lunch or supper, what do you like to order?
I don't generally go in there, not because I don't want to, but Over the years, Wayne, I've kind of been the center of rumors or whatever, so I kind of stay away from...
Paranoid.
Yeah, I stay away from the backstreet language.
Yeah, so you're paranoid.
Well...
You know, I was going to say, some people, I've been told, don't like me, and some people like me. And I think that would be from... I've known you for almost 50 years, and some people don't like you.
Right.
And some people really think you're great.
Yeah, I always say the ones that don't like me don't know me.
I'd have to agree with that.
You know, and that's fine. But, you know, just a comment going back to that. You know, when I came out of the University of Minnesota in 68, you know, that's when I went on the department. I was went through the Department of Mortuary Science, joined my father in mortuary business here in town, and then later, a couple years later, got in the furniture business. And through that era, I mean, I got someplace in there. I was outstanding young business person. I mean, I could do nothing wrong. In 1980, I became a developer, and I couldn't do anything right. And, you know, Northfield News turned on me. I mean, it was hard to understand. And I look back at the time, you know, I said the highway is an opportunity for this town. And I got lambasted. I got tarred and feathered and everything, and you take a look at today, you know, without that Highway 3 development, without what's out there that brings people to town, we wouldn't have the community we have.
And you were one of the first businesses to go out there.
1973, the furniture store.
Yep, and Bob Lertzema was your guy that did the grand opening for you.
I ran across that, and Wayne, and of course, I was a big advertiser on Kim Radio, and I said, we got to do something. He said, well, I'm going to bring down Bob Lertzema. And this was on a Saturday, probably in fall, early winter. And I'll never forget, there was cars parked up and down the highway. And the people that came in, and I'll never forget meeting Bob. I still got these pictures of everyone standing in there afterwards. And Bob did a whale of a job. You know, he was a PR person. And someone would come in and have these 8x10 pictures. And so let's say I'm coming in and my son Tommy, you know, he'd meet Tommy and he'd write to Tommy, big letters, you know, Bob Lertzema. And later on, you know, this kid's going to hang on to this picture. He's not tucking it away. It's out in the open. So he'd be over by the door. Bob would, and he sees come and walk out. And Tommy, thanks for coming. And the kid would just stand in amazement. But Bob was a rarity, you know, as a big football player, you know, not so much. But I remember the Vikings in those days. I remember the old stadium. I remember the tailgating. It's just interesting to watch how things have changed.
A lot of people wouldn't believe the tailgating parties that we put on up there. When I say we, the Defeated Jesse James Day Committee and all of our friends, and Van Miller and his way of putting in John Holden and the things that he did for us, they were amazing. And the Vikings would stop by afterwards and tailgate with us. Imagine trying to get some Vikings to tailgate with you after a game.
Well,
Nowadays,
yeah, it's an.
How much do you want? I mean, will you pay me or whatever?
Yeah, it's amazing to watch the evolution of our society in all things. But it's nice to have been involved and have memories when things were, I say, better than where they are today. You know, as far as people, personality, and community involvement.
Say, speaking about people, your daughter was Miss Defeated Jesse James Day's ambassador. What seems like yesterday, but a couple, 3 years ago, I know that she was heading off to college in Iowa, and then I think she went to another college. What's the story of Vanessa, Princess Anessa?
That's my princess.
Yeah.
And I got before we go into that, I'm just going to say that defeat banquet out at the
ballroom.
They auction off the number one.
I did.
You did. And so I'm sitting in the back. And Brett Reese was the defeat person of the year. And
Joseph Lee Haywood.
Joseph Lee Haywood Award, and his father was up in front, and he's bidding for it. And I bid that thing up to about $2,200 or $2,400.
Thank you.
Then I let it go. And Bert bought that for his son, Brett. But Vanessa is, right now, she's in Iowa. She's going to Waldorf University. This morning, she's up in the cities taking a test. She's majoring in education with a minor in psychology. Vanessa is a very, very gifted person. when you think of her involvement in the community, her heart's in it. And so wherever she lands, you know, she'll be a terrific community person.
Is she going to graduate from Waldorf?
Yep, and that'll be a year from this spring.
Oh, that's pretty, time flies.
Oh, and then my son, this winter, Noah, graduated from college. He's an accountant, and he starts his internship in next week. And he his goal is to get the job and become a CPA.
Pretty brainy stuff.
Good kids.
And don't forget Jerry.
Wow, Jerry is very successful.
Yeah.
You know, and Jennifer, you know, her experience has been retail.
That's your first one.
Yeah, she was adopted. And so I'm blessed.
I remember chasing Jennifer around on rolls of carpeting during your grand opening, and she was like 5 years old or something. And every time I see her, I don't know if she does, but I always think of that.
Well, she remembers the furniture store in Highway 3 South because she could come out there, and I worked there, and her mother worked there, and she had the biggest dollhouse in anyone could imagine. She could go sit in a grouping and do things, and she has memories. Back then, you know, she would be with me a lot, and there'd be a rescue call, and she'd ride along in the truck. And so
in the truck?
Oh, yeah.
I rode along one time on the truck, and we went out to almost Lonsdale, and somebody had hurt their leg really bad. It was winter time, and I rode on the outside. Does that sound right? And I know that Yogi, which is...
Walter Hughes.
Yeah.
Junior.
He chewed me a new... you know, he said, "You are not a rescue squad person. You are not a fireman. You do not ride in our trucks." And I said, "Okay."
Well, but there's a story behind that. And Junior was a very special guy, but he had a very unfortunate accident with a fire truck. And it was up on St. Olaf. It was during probably Jesse James days, and some St. Olaf students were on the truck. The truck turned over, and someone was killed. And that turned his life around as far as he, from there forward, didn't focus on his business. He focused on service to rescue and fire. he was challenged with alcoholism with most of his life, and he came out of that. But that's why he became so particular, you know, it was the liability and things like that.
Well, two things I can say about him is, number one, you told me one time after we were at a horrible accident, I happened to be calling on you in the store, and you drove my convertible about 120 miles an hour out towards Kenyon. Remember that?
Yeah.
Three people got killed. And you told me that if you ever had an accident, you'd want Junior Hughes to be the first on scene.
Oh, yeah. See, between Junior Hughes, Jerry Rice, and John Mahachik, those three people really took the rescue squad to a higher level. And they became part of a team up in the cities where they would go up and fly on helicopter flights out of North Memorial Hospital to go out to scenes. And with that experience, they came back, and that's where Northfield really took off to be a premier rescue squad. And that's because of individuals like that.
And the next thing I remember about him is that he rode a motorcycle, and he knew how to do things mechanically. and he was able to put that motorcycle together and switch shifting gears, which you do with your feet, to the side where he had a foot because he lost his lower leg to gangrene. And I will never forget, here's this guy that's a rescue squad hero, knowledgeable as heck, and he allowed himself to get gangrene and not pay attention to it. And he lost his leg. And I guess he did that by clipping his toenails or some crazy thing. Roger. Okay. Well, we ran past 10 o'clock. It's right now 10:03. And I asked the news people if they would just stick around long enough to give us a chance to listen to what's happening in the news. Okay with you, Jerry?
Sure.
KYMN, Northfield, Minnesota. Those are legal IDs.
Pushing buttons. Haley at the UN. I'm John Trout. President Trump takes to Twitter to call out North Korea's Kim Jong-un. Bob Costantini reads from a tweet.
I, too, have a nuclear button, but it is a much bigger and more powerful one than his, and my button works. End quote. The president effectively injecting himself into the apparent attempts by North and South Korea to talk directly to try to ease the tensions built up with the North's missile and nuclear tests.
Cross-border communications are taking place between North and South Korea. Correspondent Steve Kastenbaum is in New York, where U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Nikki Haley is promoting U.S. policy on several fronts.
Ambassador Haley wants the U.N. to waste no time addressing the protests in Iran.
The people of Iran are crying out for freedom.
She said that President Trump is withholding $255 million in aid from Pakistan because that country allows for a safe haven for terrorists who carry out attacks in Afghanistan.
The U.S. has signaled support of anti-government protesters in the Islamic cleric-led nation. Response from Iranian officials?
Pretty angry responses coming from the Iranian government, accusing the U.S. of directly meddling in Iran's affairs and also trying to stoke the protests as well. In fact, if you look at Nikki Haley's comments, there were some things that the Iranians said straight afterwards, saying, look, this is proof that the U.S. is trying to cheer on these protesters there in Iran.
Correspondent Fred Plyke in Tallahassee, Florida, reported light snow as a winter storm makes its way up the East Coast. Snow last fell in Florida's capital in 1989. Freezing rain is being reported on bridges in South Georgia. Snow and ice are expected along the entire East Coast.
The snowfall accumulation in Philly, 1 to 2 inches. New York City expected 3 to 6 inches. Boston could see up to a foot.
Meteorologist Jennifer Gray. A dangerous apartment fire is burning in suburban Atlanta. Numerous injuries, including at least 8 children, reported. The cause of the fire is unknown. I'm John Trout. Welcome back to the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station. Of course, this is KYMN out of Northfield, Minnesota. We are a friend you can count on. And our guest this morning on KYMN is a fellow by the name of Jerry Anderson. He was the administrator for an organization called NAFRS, Northfield Area Fire and Rescue Services, and he retired from that position as effective Monday on January 1st, and we're chit-chatting about those were the days, my friend. I thought they'd never end. Okay, what I want to do here is I want to mention some of the people that have been associated with the Northfield Rural Fire Association, organized back in 1950 as the Northfield Community Rural Fire Department, and then in 1951 incorporated under Minnesota statutes as Northfield Rural Community Fire Department Association, and in 1994 formed a joint powers agreement creating Northfield Rural Fire Protection District, and in 2014 joined Northfield Rural Fire Protection District as a partner. But we're going to go way back to 1950, and I would like to have you comment on these individuals, if you do recall them. One of them retired, you got out of high school after serving 12 years from Northfield, H.J. Bestool.
Yep, and he was Northfield Township Percy Jack from Scioto. He served 50 to 57. Joel Schilling, Bridgewater, 50 to 56. Joel and I remember him early on, and it was back in 1980. I actually bought the land from their farm on the west side of Highway 3, south of the bowling alley. And he was a Bridgewater person.
I'm going to ask you a couple of questions as we go along here. Olaf Nasby from Greenvale, 1950 to 55, was he any relation to the dentist that lived here in Northfield?
I don't think so.
Okay. The next one is Clinton Howland from Waterford Township, 1950 to 59. Interrupt me if you got a comment. The next one is Elmer Mahold of Greenvale Township for 10 years, 55 to 65. Martin Sorensen, Bridgewater Township, 56 to 60. Here's a guy I know, Eugene Lyman, Northfield.
Yep, he was on for a short term. And from then following, from representation from Northfield, was Marvin Wendland. Jim Wendland was his son.
And no, him. But going back to Eugene Lyman, didn't he have a farm west on, not Woodley, but Wall Street? Is that the same Lyman
town,
I'm thinking of?
East of town. Past the golf course. So that's Northfield Township.
What about Marvin Wendland?
Well, Marvin Wendland took over after him, and Marv, I don't know if you remember Jim Wendland.
Yes, I do.
Yeah,
Didn't he just pass away recently?
I don't know that.
Well, maybe he didn't. Maybe it's his buddy in particular.
Yeah. So anyway, Marv, I remember working and knowing them. Turnicliffe from Scioto, Jim Bull from Bridgewater Township. Now that's just before you get to my house, that little farm at the bottom of the big steep hill is the Bull farm.
Yeah, but wait a minute. Russell Turnicliffe, Scioto Township. Now, is that the... No, it was Forrest Turnicliffe thinking of.
Yep.
And Helen that had the Ideal Cafe. Okay.
Right.
James Bull.
And then Norman Asby. Oliver Mesner, that's out in Scioto. And he served for 13 years.
Wow.
And Alvin Houston was on for 20 years. And if you look at... if you look at fire service up until that point, Alvin was really involved, and Alvin really took me under his wing and gave me a lot of guidance and kind of set me up heading into what's going on.
And so, we should mention that Al was a Lion, a Northfield Lion, but he was the main man for the Red Cross.
Right.
And he traveled the nation going to disaster areas.
Yeah. He was quite a person, but I remember so many personal conversations with him, and he was my mentor. He taught me an awful lot.
A nice man.
And Don Summers lived out on top of the hill south of town.
Don Summers, is that the one that lived on West 19?
No. He got 246.
Okay.
After the long hill going up, you go on top, and there's an intersection, and it's the second farm on the left.
Now, when you say Peter Blaisner, is that Jerry's dad?
No.
Brother? Sister?
It might have been a distant relative. Peter served for 30 years.
Wow.
And he did a lot of the financial treasury work and so on. And so I would work with him setting up budgets and so on. And he came on the same time I did in 1975.
You can tell that this list is not real old, but it's old because next name on there is Jerry Anderson, Administrator, 1975-42 years you've been involved with the Fire Association.
Correct.
Wow. I've been with the defeated Jesse James Days 50 years.
There you go.
So if I drop dead and you continue on for 8 years, we'll tie, serving what we love best.
Well,
oh, I know this next guy after you. Eddie Miller, ex-official.
And Ed got involved by John Mahatchik, put myself and Ed together. And here is a copy of the first one of the first programs we put on in 1977. And we sold advertising to mail this out so we could get people to come in.
Well, I'm going to look at that. You mentioned the word advertising. Let's see who you called on, okay? I see that this Cannon Valley Cooperative. Oh, that's back when it was
right.
Cannon Valley Corp.
Correct.
Lamperts, they're still around. B&G Implement, I remember them, especially for their New Holland tractors. Enfield Motors, which then became DMP Motors. We're talking about that this morning. And then after DMP, it became Northfield Motors. And then after that, it became Tom Furlong. And now, the good people at Apple. And you've been their customer forever.
I built that building.
Oh.
The original building.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I sold the land and put up a building for D&P Chevrolet.
Oh, and D stood for Don. And he was from Stillwater, right?
Don Job.
Yeah. Northfield Farm Service. I have a cold. You will when you leave here. Miller Motors, which is now Valley Auto House, and Implement. Kump Lumber, no longer around. Hughes Equipment, always at your service. Larson Implement, by the way, it's now Seneca.
Yeah, something like that.
And Double Tree Restaurant, that had been Glenn Lover's.
Yep.
Anderson Furniture.
Imagine that.
The Muni. L. Thorpe Realty. How about that? All good customers.
So that's, to me, that was the start of what went on. And up until 76, the townships were paying in $10,000.
All of them?
All of them
combined. Equally?
Yep.
All of them combined came right. to $10,000 or $10,000 each?
No. That was a total revenue from the townships.
Okay.
And in 78, we presented a plan, and we took them up to $50,000.
Wow.
Five times increase. But when we did that, we took them up, and then we leveled it off. And one of the things the rural townships have enjoyed is we've had a constant level of cost to them, and we built cash reserves. So when we had to buy something, we didn't have to borrow money. We paid cash and eliminated the interest. And, of course, we had to put money together. So right now, going into the renovation of the fire station, you know, more money will be needed for that, so the cash will dwindle over the years.
And after Eddie Miller, we have a guy I know real well, because after one job that he did, he paved the Waterford Bridge and the approach about halfway from 47 and the approach around the curve and down towards 320th Street. He had some leftover from a job that he had done, and he paved that. Wasn't that nice of him?
Yeah.
Ray Osmond, who we're talking about. And he used to be a cop who got into a gunfight. Do you remember that when you were a kid?
Yep.
Okay.
He was a fireman. He slept up at the
fire
hall in downtown Northfield. I slept at one time in the old fire hall on Main Street.
Called a sleeper.
Yeah.
All right. After Eddie Miller, or excuse me, after Ray Osmond, we have Ken Mesner.
That was Oliver's son.
Okay. And Claude Brown from Bridgewater. They were involved in politics, weren't they, the Browns?
Claude was on the town board.
Okay. And then our good friend of ours, Dundas, ex-official Jerry Adams. Was he serving as mayor at the time?
I think at the time this happened, he was, but after his mayorship, they kept him on as a representative. So we put someone on from Dundas as an ex-officio.
1983 to 1999. And after Gerry Anderson, Andy Hansen. Is he the fellow that had kind of a limp at the end of his life?
Yes.
He used to bowl, and he was such a pleasant guy.
He lived out past the golf course on the back Denison Road.
1984 to 1998.
Always a smile on his face.
Oh, yeah. Great guy. Paul Liebestein, Bridgewater Township, 1998 until he must still be on
He's still on the board.
And then after Paul, we have Kevin Eastrom, and he spells his name wrong, K-E-V-E-N. And Kevin, of course, is a big guy in the Rice County Pork Producers Association, and he's still on the board for Northfield. And then there's Ray T. Malika. Malika. Oh, there are so many Malikas. This one's from Webster. He served for 3 years, 99 to 2002. Stan Burnmeister. Why do I know that name? Can you help me?
He was a realtor appraiser.
Okay.
And lived in Forest Township. Was on the Forest Town Board. And so he was on from 99 to 2010. He passed away. And then Trish Burnmeister, his wife, took over from 2011 on.
Okay.
And then we go to Ross Nelson from Webster. Served from 2002 to 2006. Arnold Ness, he was Scioto, and he was an Army vet and very involved, and he worked from 2005 to 2013. The next person, Dean Odette, he's a former fireman, and he lives in Greenvale. He came on in 2005. Larry McFadden from Webster. Was served 2007 to 2016.
Can I do the next one?
Sure.
It's my good friend.
Mitch Penny.
I got to do a ride-along with him when he was before he retired from the Dakota County Sheriff's Department. And he loves to golf now in his retirement. And I know he doesn't like it, but, you know, he is a brother to Tim Penny. They love each other, but he wants to be Mitch Penny, not Tim's brother. And I got to have Tim on again soon. Anyhow, he's still on the board. Say hello to him for me.
Sure.
Oh, you're done.
There you go.
You can't say hello to him for me. And I do not know Dwayne Harnack.
Dwayne is a fellow from Webster, and he's an old blacksmith repair type person. Real nice gentleman. He's currently representing Webster.
So these are all the people that have served on the Northfield Rural Fire Association.
Since its inception.
In 1950.
Right. So and I just, you know.
That's a long time. Let's see, 1950. That's a 50. And then 17, 67 years.
There you go.
Yeah, right about your age, a little bit younger, older.
Yeah, I was born 44.
Okay.
So.
1944, the end of the war.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
I missed it.
I was born on the beginning of that war. 1945 was the end. But anyhow, Gerry, what makes you want to do all of these non-profitable, I'm talking monetarily, but maybe profitable as far as... what you have accomplished in the safety of our residents, particularly rural residents. What made you go through that hard work of becoming a fireman? Were you on the rescue squad? And on the rescue squad, tons of hours of training, and then you're serving as administrator to this, one of the three things that I know that you were involved in. What is it that made you do that all these years?
When I came to this community and came into business, this is going to be your home. And so over the years, I mean, fire service is one thing. I was involved with EPIC for many years, the senior citizens when they converted to the new place. I've been involved in more nonprofits. But the philosophy I have, if you live in a community and you derive your business in that community, you need to put something back. If you've got a cookie jar in the kitchen, everyone comes in and just takes a cookie and you never put any cookies back, we run out of cookies. And so my mother taught me to put something back in the community. And nonprofits is a beautiful way to do that. And people need to get involved in a community, whatever their love is, whether it's arts, whether it's whatever it is you love in a community, get involved. And that's what helps build community. Our community is such diverse in Northfield. And if everyone got involved in something special, whether it's hockey, some sport, the library, there's so many places to get involved. And if everyone got involved and gave 4, 5, 6% of their time, you know, that makes a whale of a community. And it's not for someone to determine what someone should do. They need to do that for themselves.
What do you recall what your mom did?
Well, it's interesting. We're sitting in the radio station. I remember her taking me up to St. Olaf. That was KDHL at that time. What was the radio station at St. Olaf?
WCAL.
WCAL. She had a radio show up there.
Really?
And so I would go up there and sit there and listen to that. She was involved when I was a youngster in the school systems. What do you call the school group of parents?
Parent-teacher association.
And yeah. She was one of the ones that was kind of instrumental in getting the parents and students meeting with the students in their review at least once a year. She was on a planning commission in Northfield. She was quite involved. She was the secretary for the swimming pool group. Remember the swimming pool?
Well, yeah, the reason I remember that, because the sweetest little old lady I ever met and the first president of the Northfield Historical Society, who was married to a doctor here in town who had a son named Bernie, Street.
Street.
Okay, I knew I had to work my way to that. She, when they were going to sell the what is now the Northfield Arts Guild, which was the Northfield Police Department right next to the fire station back then.
Correct.
When they were thinking of selling that, I realized and learned that the YMCA had given that to the cities of the citizens of Northfield for $1, and the city had to take care of it and provide a restroom. And anyhow, when the fire department and safety center was built in 1970 or whatever it was, that was going to be torn down by an individual who had ideas of buying it and making parking lot. And when I heard that, I thought, that's crazy. So as a JC, I went out and checked things out. I thought, wouldn't it be nice if we could rent that space out to all of the community entities that we have that are nonprofits, the 4-H Club, the Lions, the Rotarians, whatever, and provide a secretary and shelving space and file space for the various clubs and organizations. So we called a meeting. I called a meeting and got Mary Lou Street and Maggie Lee. And anyhow, I call it Futures. And Futures, Friends United to go under Friends United to undergo restoration efforts for that building. And Mary Lou was in charge of the drive for the swimming pool that you may remember to put in a swimming pool up at the where it is now. And she had $3,700 in the bank account. And she said that at this point, that money has just been sitting there. I'll talk to the right people, and we'll get it dedicated to Futures. And she got that money, and then Futures morphed into the Northfield Historical Society. What was your question?
I don't have a question.
You were asking about what your mother was involved in. And the point that I was trying to make is that everything will kind of connect the dots on the active people in the community that do things for the community. Yeah. Like, for example, the Hockey Association, they had a battle to get that thing going, and they had to find private investors to put the hockey rink in. And then when those investors, children or grandchildren, we're done with hockey, it kind of went idle. And then the city bought it. And I don't know, were you involved in that?
Well, I remember that. Jim Mahatik and several other investors, and they turned it over to the city. The city accepted it. And it's interesting. My son, Noah, who just graduated, he was in association hockey. Later on, he went to BA in Faribault and then went to Waldorf in Iowa, played some hockey for college. But the hockey situation in Northfield is interesting to watch. And I was a hockey parent and did all the traveling. Remember the long hours. And we've looked at the hockey situation for many years in this community. The frustration I had with the whole thing is when we go over to St. Peter, St. Peter's a small town with a college, and the college had the ice arena and worked with the city. The frustration I've had here is the colleges have rented a lot of time in the arena, but we were never able to build the bridge between the colleges and the city to get a facility that served the whole community. St. Olaf is going ahead with its facility, and an ice building is quite a thing to manage and expensive. So somehow I'm hoping that I have nothing to do with it. I cross my fingers. I just hope some wisdom comes someplace so we can continue. You know, this year we've got a cold, we can keep ice. I remember the years we can't keep outside ice.
Guess what I saw on the way into town this morning?
I can't imagine.
You know where County Road 22 is?
Yep.
So as you're going out of town on Division Street, it becomes 246.
Correct.
And right past County Road 1 on your right is another turnoff, and that's County Road 22.
Correct.
And, you know, they dug a great big excavation there this past year.
Stormwater pond.
And they ended up being a storm. That thing is shoveled into an ice rink. Isn't that cool?
Right there.
Yeah. I mean, outdoor ice, not on a, you know, city-operated or school-operated. Yeah. I think that's cool.
Well, you know, ice is hard to manage. It's got to be reflooded and, you know, everything. I remember pictures in Northfield above the dam, between the dam and 5th Street, where they used to skate.
Well, they have a picture right on the wall out here at, right, in the green room.
But what was different then than now?
Yeah, what is the deal?
The area, the land, the water from the dam south to 5th Street is all silted in. So you've got the silt or earth coming up, and that has a thermal mass in it that keeps it from depth freezing.
Well, I thought it was the flow.
Well,
and obviously not, because they were skating there. My wife even remembers that. By the way, isn't this funny? Serving on boards and serving on committees. I was appointed by Rice County commissioners to join a guy by the name of Miller. Help me out. He lived out what is that, 81? Where 1 comes to 246, and if you cross 246 and keep going, is that County Road 81?
I think so.
Well, there's Chuck Miller. Do you remember him?
Oh, I remember Chuck very well.
Okay. Well, Chuck Miller and I think Chuck was a commissioner at the time.
Correct.
And he had me join him, and we went to meetings in Rochester, and we're trying to get something out of the federal government. And guess what we finally got? Riprap.
That's good.
So
that's expensive.
Yeah. And so all the way from the 4th Street Bridge south along the where the safety center is, and especially along where the parking lot is across from the post office, all of that riprap came from Chuck and I going down and trying to get some money from the federal government with about 50 other communities. So we're pretty proud of that because that's not inexpensive.
Well, that is the riprap between the bridge and 5th is one thing, but on the east side of the river from 5th Street on up, you're on the outside curve of the river. So the riprap has prevented the river from going into our business district.
Right.
And if you go there, if you took a picture back when it was installed, it's settled, and one of these days someone's going to have to add more riprap.
Yes.
It's a riprap is not permanent. It's a maintenance item.
And it's been many years, obviously, since that was done. The remnants that we do have is kind of a tourist attraction because it's right where they are not supposed to feed the ducks or whatever the rules are down there. And I remember during Defeat of Jesse James days, some people that didn't want to drink beer or pop would find another way to entertain themselves by sneaking down and sitting on the riffraff by the river, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Okay. 10:32 on 1080 Radio. My guest this morning is Jerry Anderson. He has just retired as the main man for the Northfield Rural Fire Association, or has a different name now, after serving for 42 years. Let's go down memory lane some more, Jerry, right after we take a little bit of a time out and come back with a 1962 tune to see if you can identify it.
They say money can't buy happiness, yet at Subway restaurants, $4.99 buys you a foot-long Black Forest ham, meatball marinara, spicy Italian, or more. Guess what? That's happiness, and I'm buying it. And after I buy them, I'm going to eat them. Just not all at once. Footlong faves at Subway. Now just $4.99 each every day. Subway. So much sandwich. At participating restaurants, additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.
Here's a big hit from 1962. The Four Seasons. Oh, I didn't mean to tell you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Big girls don't cry by the Four Seasons.
Right.
And they don't cry, big girl.
I love the music from 62. I'll give you all the top 10 when we get done here. Our guests. Oh, by the way, while we're doing this, let's do something. We got a little bit of a party we want to invite you to. And the entire listening audience, you are invited to a party.
The public is invited to an open house and birthday party for Dr. Ronald Lindy. Dr. Lindy's been in business in Northfield since 1975. The open house is Thursday, January 4th, anytime between 9 and 5. There'll be cake and cookies, so please stop in and wish Dr. Lindy a happy birthday.
We're back on KYMN Radio. Name this tune.
Sherry.
Yeah, by who?
I got no idea.
Well, they just got done singing Big Girls Don't Cry.
I don't know the singers. I listen to the music, but I don't, you know.
The Four Seasons.
Okay,
you just said it.
But I don't pay attention to it. I mean, I enjoy the music.
You what?
I love the music, but I just, you know, who sings it.
I know. I shouldn't put people on the hot spot like that. Okay, let's get back to what we just heard. Dr. Lindy's birthday party. Do you remember when Dr. Lindy came to town?
Dr. Lindy is my eye doctor.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I've been to him a couple times. And he is a not only your eye doctor, but he is also an ophthalmologist,
yes.
Is a surgeon doctor.
Yep.
Yeah. And that was a big deal to get an eye surgeon to live in Northfield and practice in Northfield.
At that day.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And so congratulations to him having a birthday party. Good if you get a chance to go to it. Now, I mentioned yesterday, you know what's most notable to me about Dr. Lindy? Remember the Schilling Museum?
Yes.
Remember that they had the guns that were used in the 1876 raid?
Yes.
Well, those guns were going to go off to auction, and they would have brought in a lot of money. And Dr. Lindy bought those guns and gave them to Northfield Historical Society. On permanent loan, I think, or whatever it was. But anyhow, if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have those guns.
Yeah. He's quite a gentleman.
Yeah. Well, okay, 23 minutes before 11 o'clock on KYMN Radio, Jerry Anderson is my guest on Kim. And, Jerry, what other memories do you have in regards You're supposed to talk when I cough.
I'm sorry. I don't know the radio switches like you do. Wayne is having a terrible cough day. I want to spend a little bit of time talking about fire chiefs. When I first got onto the department, there was a Friggy Wells.
Yes.
As fire chief.
Didn't he have a restaurant next to the State Farm?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Friggy would have any particular lunch, he had a special. So you just came in and you didn't choose from a menu. It's a large plate or small plate. Now, Friggy's daughter was Betty, who was married to Dale Quist.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep. And so the next fire chief that was involved for a while was Willard Sievers. He was a postman.
Oh, what a nice guy.
Oh, yeah.
What a
lived up on Fifth Street.
Northfield Lion.
Yep. And then John Mahochik in the early 70s became fire chief. And he became fire chief, and he was fire chief all the way into the 90s. And then Gary Fronick came on.
Well, let's talk about John Mahochik.
Well, let me preempt that a little bit. And I mention all this for another important reason. We've talked about people in longevity and servicing, but we're blessed in Northfield with people that have been involved for a while. And a fire chief is a leader, and you have to build your crew of firemen. You're building the pyramid, so you've got all of your people lined up at the base. And as people progress up in management abilities, the chief's greatest job is getting people that can do a better job for this or that and putting them in position, because the whole thing in a fire department is a team. And if you got 36 firemen, you got 36 links in a chain. And we take it to a fire, the monster wants to break the chain. And so you're constantly trying to improve the strength of your organization or your log chain. And so I've got a lot of honor and respect for the people that have served that long. And we've got we've had some criticism of NAFRs in the organization, but it reflected more on the board than it did on the department. And I want to make sure everyone understands the firemen do a terrific job. And that's due to the personnel that are there. And so
are there coveted positions? I mean, when you become a volunteer and you're trained and all that, is there like, I want to be the guy that drives a truck? No, I want to be the guy that hauls the hose out.
Well, first of all, you've got the chief, assistant chief, and then captains. And in the rescue squad, you've got a rescue squad chief. But within the operation of that, you take new people on and you find what is their strengths and what is their weaknesses. And, to sit there and operate a truck with all the gauges and all that stuff, some people are more adept at that, but you have to train enough of those people because they're volunteer that someone's going to be there to run that. And so the equipment is quite sophisticated today. And the department's done such a fantastic job of training and keeping up, with all of that.
Now, what for a guy like Norm Sifra? I know that he was on the fire department and was very proud of it.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so you move along. Was Les Ferris ever on there?
Les was on the fire department.
Okay. And after John Mahochik, who reigned as captain or chief for 2 decades,
yep.
Who was after him?
Gary Fronick.
Oh, really?
Gary Fronick's
our current one.
Our current one.
What role did Eddie Miller? Was he like assistant chief?
Ed Miller was an assistant chief to John Mahochik.
Okay.
And Ed became, and his Ed's role in the rural was he would help with equipment purchases and his selling of equipment. I worked with Ed for a long time, and Ed was invaluable on getting the most money out of a used piece of equipment, so, our differential cost wasn't so high.
I know he still services some of the equipment, doesn't he?
Right, yep.
Now, for those of you that don't know, when I moved to town, there was Miller Implement, and they were where the architectural building is now on whatever that Water Street.
Water Street.
Yeah. If you're facing Basil's Pizza, it's the last concrete building on the left. Then they moved out to Highway 3 South and called Miller Motors, and Lorraine was the boss. That would be Ed and Van Miller's mother. And then it became some guy came in. And
Rody Esme.
Yeah, yeah.
And he took over the dealership, put Ed back in the parts department. And the day came along that Rody fired Ed. And at that time, I had owned the Yonkers restaurant. And so we started Valley Auto House. And that was just sales of used cars out of the north end of that. And then one day...
North end?
North end of the Yonkers restaurant.
Oh, okay. Now, a lot of people are saying Yonkers restaurant. What's
well,
that?
Well, that's just Trippers Clippers.
Trippers Clippers, right.
So, and...
is that half in and half out of Dundas?
Originally,
and
it was. Okay. And when I owned it, we got a change, so it was all in...
Dundas.
Dundas.
Yeah. Lower so, taxes.
Well, it had to go one way or the
yeah.
other.
Well, and, I'd go know, with the lower taxes.
So... So I was involved in the formation of Valley Auto House.
Oh.
And so then one day Rody Esme moved out, and he had a lease with the Ed and Van Miller.
For the building.
For the building, and they walked out, and Ed called me. He said, "What do we? What can I do?" And I sat down and looked at the lease. I said, "You can sue them every 30 days for lack of payment, or you can turn around and put your old business back together." And in doing that, all of the people that had worked for him, that had worked in other places, came back. And a couple of years later, we bought Clancy Swanson. He had a truck repair business, brought mm-hmm. that in. Later on, he left to work full-time for College City Beverage. And so that was the start of Valley Auto House.
Okay. I didn't know you were involved.
Yeah. And so once Dale Quist and I were both involved in that, and once it got it going, we stepped out because it's it isn't that big of a business to
imagine that people. Horrible feeling of having a traditional business, a family business, and having somebody from out of town come in and lease your building and take over your Pontiac Buick or Buick Oldsmobile, maybe not Buick Oldsmobile.
I don't remember exactly.
I think Buick stuck with Enfields, B&A. Anyhow, not B&A, that's Bud Westblade. So, I called on that guy, and I talked to that guy. And he's the first one ever showed me that automatic traction with your tires when you put the brakes on.
Going ABS?
Yeah, we were going down 20. And I said, "What's that noise?" "Oh, it's a new thing called." So you know how long ago that was. But I imagine, owning a business, a family business, and somebody fires you from your building, but then they got a lease, and you can't break it on your end, but they break it on their end. But anyhow, now it's Valley Auto House.
Right. And yeah. Gary Arrington came
back.
Oh,
yeah, the body shop.
They run the body shop. Jerry Blazner came back and ran the mechanic. Parts. Both those fellows have retired. And... it was just wonderful to see all of that come back together. And so over the years, I've been involved in many different businesses just for a little while, and you step out and let it run on its own.
Have you ever done business with, Northwestern State Bank or Northwestern Bank or Norwest Bank and now Wells Fargo?
I'll tell you a story.
Okay.
When I came back to join my father in the funeral home, I had an older brother, Phil, that was involved. And at that time, Norwest Bank or whatever held the loan. And he had not, properly managed the funds. And so about the second month I'm back, I'm going through the books and I'm saying, there's a problem here. And so I went down to the bank and wanted to restructure things.
Was that when Larry was the boss?
I don't remember who it was. But long and short of it, I stepped in, and 2 years later, took care of the debt, got things going, and, Will Bros has been down there over the years. I've never done any business with that bank. That's the only bank that's never done business with me. And I took that one bad loan and made it good. I don't know why. Yeah. You know, it's just the stigma that's out there.
Well, I got to tell you that I used to get mad when I'd go in there and do business because they wanted an ID, you know, to cash a check or whatever. And so I finally have taught myself that this isn't the old days, you know, where Jim Sawyer to this day knows my account number, and the secret number. But I go in there, and if I'm going to withdraw or if I'm going to deposit, I have my bank card and my driver's license with me. And if I go through the drive-thru, I do the same thing. Because the turnover there is so quick. There's a whole new group going through there now, and they're all pleasant, they're all nice and all that. But when I heard that, when I asked who the new president was, and this is several years ago, and they said, "We don't have a president." "What? We have a store manager." "Not a branch manager, a store manager." I went, "What?" Well, that's turned over several times since then. But they've been nice to me. I'm not dissing. I've just said, you know, it isn't the same.
Well, it's interesting when you talk about banks. I came out of high school, and my first checking account was at First National Bank downtown Northfield. And at that time, Bob Shumway, Dave's dad, was alive.
I know,
and
Bob.
Bob. Helped set me up in the furniture business expansion, the original purchase, plus the expansion south on Highway 3. And so then that was great, but in the 80s I was out on the highway and the First National Bank was all concerned about the destruction to downtown Northfield. Well, I've held that account for all these years and never done any more commercial business there, but did it with other banks. But to this day, I can call down there, and if I've got one of my kids in school and need to transfer some money, I just give them my name and, you know, give them four numbers, and it's all taken care of.
Yeah, that's right.
But, you know, when you're with someone for a long time, you know, that's wonderful service.
I had car trouble, and this is when Will Bros was there, and Rick, my neighbor, Rick. Anyhow, I was out of town. Car trouble, major, and didn't have enough in my checking account to cover it, and I just called up, "Will you please put this money in?" I know what it was. I was buying my dad's car. That was it, didn't have enough to cover it, and they said, "Well, go ahead, give them a check." And I came back. We took care of the loan and all that stuff, and I think you almost can get away with that. Maybe at Franston Bank in Northfield, I'm not sure, but they're a nice local bank. They went through how many presidents at Franston? You must have done some business there. You're a Dundas business person.
Yep.
Can you remember all of Jim Burns, Randy Burns, Lloyd Lunder.
After Lloyd, I don't remember.
Some guy I ran into the other day, and I can't remember. Well, it's been pretty stable with Jan Stanton.
Yeah,
I think she's been there for 40
years. Rick Riesberg is there.
Oh, Rick, my neighbor.
Yeah.
Riesberg.
And Franzen is a chain that is growing. It's a good chain. They're involved in communities and stuff like that. I'm going to mention a banking experience. I'm not going to tell you the name of the bank, but probably about 9 years ago, I had never bought a piece of property at a sheriff's sale. So all of a sudden there was a piece of property next to a development I was doing out in Forest Township. And all of a sudden I heard it was in foreclosure, and I called down to the sheriff's office. I said, "What kind of funds do I have to buy it?" And said, "You got to have a certified check." So I called my banker, and I said, "I need a certified check." He said, "How much?" I said, "I don't know, but whatever I'm going to buy, you know, it's not going to be probably somewhere between $80,000 and $100,000. Could go $120,000, but I want to buy it," and so on. They gave me a blank certified check.
Whoa.
Now, and you talk about credibility. So I picked that up, went down there, and as it turns out, the bank was there, and when a sheriff's sale, they open up, they do their legal verbiage, and they open it up, and the, whoever the bank is bids it in at their number where the loan is at.
Right.
And at that particular time, it was, the property was 80, so let's say it was $82,000.
Yeah, and it was in default.
Yeah, and so this other person went $1 above that. Well, I went
Are they sealed?
No, this is an open bid.
Auction, okay.
This verbiage, I mean. Okay. You know, so that I put $1,000 on top of that. He came back at $1,000 over that. I came back at $4,000. All of a sudden, you know, we're up to about $102,000, heading towards $110,000. So I asked, there was other sales that day, and I asked the sheriff, could we take a recess on this one? So I took the gentleman over, and I said, I've never met you. And I said, are you interested in this property? Well, he said, and it turns out to become his nephew has become a good friend of mine, who wants the property. I said, well, I want it because I want to put an easement on that property to a piece I have next door. So if you agree to this easement, I'm going to back out. Well, he had brought in a certified check for $1 over. So we went back to the sheriff's sale, and I withdrew my bids, and he ended up buying it. And I took the blank check back to the bank.
Because he wouldn't give you an easement?
He would.
He
gave me the easement, so I got what I wanted without buying the house.
Good for you. Another great love story.
I met some nice people through that.
Yeah. And you won't mention which bank that was.
No.
And I understand that. But I'm taking a break at 7 before 11 on Kim Radio. Maybe you know these guys, Jerry.
When it's time for preventative maintenance on your new car or truck, you don't just take your car into anyone. At Witt Brothers Service in Northfield, you know you found a name you can trust. To start, we're a Napa Auto Care Center, so the technicians we employ are experts trained in every aspect of your vehicle's maintenance. This gives you the peace of mind in knowing that everything we do is accepted under the terms of your manufacturer's warranty. Add to that the fact that we use quality Napa parts that meet or exceed original equipment and specifications. And you have the one place where you can entrust all of your vehicles. Come see Witt Brothers Service in downtown Northfield today.
Hey, the Witt Brothers, how close, you're a lot older than they are, do you remember when one of the boys set a record for the state pole vaulting?
Well, let me go back farther than that.
Oh, okay.
Marv Witt came to town.
Oh, yeah?
And he had a partner by the name of Fran Hall. I think they were down on Water Street, which is now, the building was torn down for the River Park Mall. And I got to know Marv. And at that time, Marv had wife Carol and some little kids, Mooch and Mike, and a couple daughter or two. And so we'd be over at their house and I'd watch those kids grow up.
Okay.
Marv, in the 60s, we have a sportsman car out at Elko. And the guy that was building the motors for us was Marv Witt.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Carol would get upset at Marv. He's looking, going through the invoice. What's this part for? Well, it's for the race car. Well, why are you doing this? Well, that race car was an accumulation of Foundry and myself and Marv. It was just a community race car.
Was it the one I sponsored?
Yes. Kim Radio was always on the trunk lid of that car.
Puffy drove it?
Yep.
Number 96?
Yep.
Have I got a memory or what, huh?
Now, that car... Bobby Gisolo came in
number 4
with a convertible, and we won the championship in the Sportsman, so we were able to run with the late models. We went over to Lou Fager's and borrowed, didn't have any money to buy it, borrowed the wider tires and wheels, went out, and I'll never forget this, Puffer went out on the track. He came in, and I said, is the car understeering, oversteering, what's it doing? Well, it's just perfect. I said, go out, drive it faster. I want you to drive it so fast it does something wrong. We went out and qualified 4 or 5 thousandths of a second off from Bobby Gisolo. But in the race, the late models had big engines, so we had to have the momentum to stay up. We finished 5th or 6th, but that was the most amazing.
Oh, you bring back memories. I remember Marv and I chit-chatting one time, and he says, now, why don't you have a car show during the Defeat of Jesse James days? I said, well, I do. What do you mean? Well, you're the chairman. Get it going. He said, oh, okay. And I remember the first year, maybe a half a dozen cars. The second year, maybe a dozen. And he said to me on the third year, well, you'd think you'd buy us a keg of beer, you know, for bringing these guys in from... I said, we'll take care of that. Don't worry about it. So get them a keg of beer. And then we had 18 cars. And now we got It's a great car show. Sundowners do a wonderful job. Speaking about a wonderful job, I got to play the number one song for you. And if you have a last thought, you'll have a minute for that. But ladies and gentlemen, my guest this morning is Jerry Anderson. I know him from, I believe it was Anderson Funeral, then it became Anderson Benson, and then it became Benson, then it became Benson and
Langhout.
Okay. Also Anderson Furniture, Dundas Storage, and many other things. Driving Camaros and Corvettes for the Chevrolet Company. That's amazing in the story itself. But you graduated from Northfield High School when it was where the White Center is now, up on Washington and 4th Street, and between 4th and 3rd. And this was the number one song, Jerry. Let's see if you can remember the song.
I can't stop loving you.
Name that tune.
Can't Stop Loving You?
Yes. There's the singer. I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
He's blind, or was blind.
The name doesn't come to me.
Okay,
but
well, they made a movie about his life, and the name of the movie, which was an excellent movie, by the way, was called Ray.
So I'll just live my life.
And there's a prince over in England that goes by Ray's last name.
Prince Edward.
No. Those are cigars. Prince Charles.
Oh, okay.
Ray Charles.
Beautiful. The 60s music was so beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I'll tell you what they were. Number 10, Chubby Checker and the Twist. Number 9, Gene Chandler and Duke of Earl. Number 8, Gene Chandler, Duke of Earl, Bruce Channel, Hey Baby, The Shirelles with Soldier Boy, The Tornadoes with Telstar. Number 5 was Joey D with The Starlighters and The Peppermint Twist. Bob Vinton, Roses Are Red. Number 4, The Four Seasons. Number 3, Sherry, Four Seasons. Number 2, Big Girls Don't Cry. And number 1, in 1962, of all the pop songs that Jerry Anderson and his classmates were listening to, this was the number 1 song. Did you guys ride around in your cars with your radios on and blasting?
If I was riding around in my car, I had the window down listening to the exhaust and the new set of mufflers.
Did you have glass packs?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Brrr, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
You talk about the wind center up there. We lived across the street on 4th Union. We lived at Smoky Point.
Yep.
All the kids came across to that corner. They could go to any corner, but that was the corner closest to go down street. And that was Smoky Point.
And that was just east of the parking lot of the funeral home.
The house was there. Mahachik.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
The house in between.
My wife's relatives had that. Okay, but
think of her name.
So ask me what I remember most about the home you lived in on the corner of Washington
Union.
Or is
Fourth
it Union?
Fourth
and Union.
I'm scared to ask, but I will.
Okay.
What do you remember most, Wayne?
The bathroom.